We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
From collecting to leveling to battling, welcome to Lita's Littlest Pet Shop for all of your pet battling needs.
Hello, sweeties, and today we are going to be talking about a cute little pet that comes from the Hallows End World event called Feline Familiar. Now, it is a cute little cat that has a witch's hat, and it likes to fly around alongside you, riding a broom. Now, to obtain this pet, you can collect 150 tricky treats and turn them in to the Hallows End vendors in both Undercity or Stormwind City. Now, let's have a look at the battle information for this pet. So, the slot 1 abilities. At level 1, you get Onox Bite. This is a 100% hit chance, and it bites the enemy with Onox Teeth, dealing magic damage. This is very good against flying pets, and not so good against mechanical. At level 10, you get Pounce, and this is a 100% hit chance. It pounces the enemy, dealing beast damage, as well as extra beast damage if the user strikes first. Now, this is very good against critters and not so good against flying. The slot 2 abilities. At level 2, you get Stone Skin. This reduces so much damage from each attack against you and lasts 5 rounds. At level 15, you get Call Darkness. This is a 5-round cooldown. It is 100% hit chance. A shadow falls across the battlefield, dealing humanoid damage and turning the weather to darkness for 5 rounds. During darkness, all pets are considered blinded, and all healing received is reduced by 50%. This is good against dragonkin and not so good against beasts. Slot 3 abilities. At level 4, you get Devour. This is a 1-round cooldown, 100% hit chance, and it deals beast damage. If the user kills an enemy with Devour, they restore health. Devour continues for 2 rounds. This is very good against critters and not so good against flying. Now, level 20, you get Prowl, and this is a 5-round cooldown. Reduces your speed by 30% and increases the damage of your next attack made within 2 rounds by 150%. Now, the other thing to remember, the passive abilities for a beast pet is beasts deal 25% extra damage below half health. Anyway, that is all from me today. I hope you have great fun with your pet battles and your pet collecting, and we will talk to you later. Bye!
This is 60 Crunches. Our reporter, Mr. Smith, is still missing, so our other reporter, Mr. Daniels, is on his way down now to the cafe. The Azeroth Environment Agency has recently arrived and only just started to quarantine the area. Let's catch up with Daniels, who should be nearly there. I'm only about a couple minutes away from this there cafe, and I don't know what happened to Mr. Smith. I'm worried about him, but I'm sure going to find out what's going on and what's happening. The environment agency is already there, so let me go see if I can find out what's happening inside. This is Mr. Daniels here reporting from the Addicted Food Cafe in Asra, just down the road from Crossroads and Ratchet. The Environment Agency has arrived now and starting to quarantine the area. I don't think they let anybody out, let alone me. Anyway, some of the customers aren't too happy about that. Mrs. Farmworth?
Hell yeah, I ain't happy. They locked up their Clarence in that back room. He was being sick, and all of a sudden they took him, dragged him in there, and locked him up. There's three or four of them in there now. I don't know what's happening, but I just want to go home and eat my crickets.
Sat there, Mr. Farmworth, they locked up? Can't believe that. Why would they do such a thing?
I don't know. Hell, what am I going to do? You let him go. You let him out of here, you hear me?
Excuse me. Yes, excuse me. Well,
how long we expect to be in here? Because I got things to do, place to go. I'm going to miss the Azeroth football game on TV. Who's going to win this week? Looks like one of the agencies getting ready to speak to us and tell us what's happening. Let's listen in.
We have reason to believe that some of the infected ones could be spreading the disease to other parts of the town, other parts of this country. And for the interest of safety, we've quarantined this area and locked up those who are ill so they can be further investigated. The body of already one deceased person has been collected just earlier by the mortician. And we're waiting to hear back from him on what's happening. Until then, we're staying here. God knows how long we're going to be locked up. You have any clues what's the cause of all this? That, sir, is yet to be determined. Although it may be some sort of water contamination or some other such thing. Some of these things here came from the coast. Anyway, pipe down now and best we'll settle in. It's going to be a long night.
It wasn't me, you know. Nothing to do with me, but... Can I have you some food?
You're looking there pink at yourself, Mr. Squashling. You're coming with us.
No. You understand. It's not me. Honest.
Whether it's something in the water or some other thing, God knows, but I'm sure we'll figure it out soon.
This has been 60 Crunchers. It's one hell of a hot mess down there. And don't drink the water, whatever you do.
Hello, I am Grant Nagus, and today I want to talk about the Silver Pine Forest. Silver Pine Forest is the first zone I talk about that has received a drastic change after the implementation of Cataclysm. Without going into the pre-Cataclysm version of the Silver Pine Forest too much, basically what it was, we had the Lich King invasion of the Silver Pine. We had Thule Ravenclaw, which was a Dalaran mage, and all the surrounding Dalaran lore that came with it from Embermill and from Fenris Keep on Fenris Isle, bleeding in from Dalaran from Hillsbred Foothills. We had a little Greymane wall-ish stuff from Gilneas in that Briarwood village was a little quest hub, and then we had the primary story, which was all the Vorgan stuff and Arugal, the so to speak leader of the Vorgan in that regard, and everything that dealt with that, and the inclusion in that storyline of Shadowfang Keep, the only five-man dungeon in the zone. But as I said, it's just a little overview. I want to talk about the post-Cataclysm version of the Silver Pine Forest primarily. If you play through Silver Pine Forest nowadays, it is the usual linear quest experience that we have with all the revamped zones. It's, in my opinion, one of the greatest lore stories that Blizzard has put out ever, not only because it's a Forsaken centered questline and the Dark Lady plays a great part in it, but also it covers quite a bit of the story behind Sylvanas and her motives. If you want to know more about Sylvanas' motives and her background about the happenings between the end of Wrath of the Lich King and the beginning of Cataclysm and the starting of this quest experience in this zone, go and read the short story from Blizzard that Dave Kosek wrote called Edge of Night. It's a really, really great read. You're not going to be disappointed. And if you never played any Forsaken as an Alliance player, you want to do so to understand what happened after you got rescued as a Vorkan from Gilneas, because, and that's a criticism I have with Blizzard, as so many others do, this is the continuation and conclusion of the lore zone Gilneas on the Alliance side. So what do we have in this zone? We have four flight points. We have the Forsaken High Command, the Forsaken Rear Guard, we have the Sepulchre, and we have the Forsaken Front. There is another one in the zone Gilneas, but that's a temporary one, and it's going to be gone again once that part of the quest line has been completed. The story is that the Forsaken are amassing an army to fight the invasion of Silverpine from the Gilnean forces, and Sylvanas is in there in the midst of it. She is accompanying you all through the zone. You're going to see a little from Embermill and a little hint on the old Dalaran mage stories. You're going to go into Briarwood a little on a couple of quests, but basically it's completely changed. There is no more Vorkan presence, the Aurgal Vorkans, that is. So basically, it's just all about Forsaken versus Gilneas. We are all out of time for today. This zone has been suggested to me by Lawwalker Maslow from Lawwalker's Roundtable. If you want me to feature your favorite zone, write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. Tweet me at GrandNegus1. This is GrandNegus, Rule of Acquisition number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye guys.
Hello darlings. I hope you're having or had a wonderful Hallow's End. This mini-cast is a bit longer than the standard 20 minutes, but that's because Hiramaradex did a video called Top 10 Zombies in WoW that I just had to include, given the timing of this mini and all. And that is next, followed by Charm, who did a fabulous cover of Come Little Children from Hocus Pocus that I could not possibly resist. Happy Halloween, darlings.
Now, WoW has quite a few zombies in its universe, as well as a race and class who are essentially zombies themselves. So, for the sake of this video, anything that was once dead and brought back to life will be considered a zombie.
Good news, everyone! I think I've perfected a plague that will destroy all life on Azeroth!
Number 10 on this list will be Professor Putricide. Now, Putricide is on this list because he's a personal favorite of mine. I'm a huge fan of Futurama, and Professor Putricide is just a zombie Professor Farnsworth.
Good news, everyone!
Well, what is it?
What is what? Oh, right!
While there isn't very much lore on this guy compared to the other zombies on this list, I think he deserves a spot just for being hilarious.
Bad news, everyone! I don't think I'm going to make it!
Number 9, Stitches. Stitches is an abomination, a type of zombie that are created from the mutilated and disease-ridden corpses brought from the battlefield. They usually include more than 10 bodies sewed together to create its body. Each of these bodies must be infected with the Lich King's Plague, so they will properly mutate when affected with the rituals to create the abomination. Abercrombie the Embalmer creates Stitches as a gift for Lord Elo Ebonlock, the mayor of Darkshire, sending him to terrorize the town. He tricks you into gathering the parts to build his abomination, dropping small hints as the long questline progresses. Before Cataclysm, Stitches was not in an instant zone and would regularly kill low-level players who were new to the game and didn't know that it was part of someone else's quest, and would attack it by accident, as it was an elite that you had to help the guards kill. Stitches is also a playable character in Heroes of the Storm. Number 8, Flesh Titans. Flesh Titans are the most powerful constructs of the Scourge, built from the corpses of storm giants and flesh of women and children stitched together. It is said that their souls are fused together, internally bound within the foul prison of the flesh. What little knowledge there is points to the Flesh Titans as being far more intelligent than other constructs and possessing deadly electrical powers. The fact that they seem to have electrical powers points to a likely reference to the monster of Frankenstein, the monster created from parts of dead people sewn together and brought to life with lightning. There are only two Flesh Titans in WoW, Throm and Thaddeus. Number 7, the Valkyrie. Valkyrie are created from female Vrykulls who accepted the Lich King's gift, and are the only creatures other than the Lich King who can create new zombies without the plague. After the death of the Lich King Arthas, Sylvanas, the leader of the Forsaken, took them under her control in order to bolster the Forsaken's numbers, since the Forsaken are unable to reproduce naturally.
And more importantly, what are those Scourge fiends doing here?
Warchief, so glad you could make it. With the death of the Lich King, many of the more intelligent Scourge became unemployed. Those fiends, as you so delicately put it, are called Valkyr. They are under my command now. And they are part of the reason that I asked to see you.
Get on with it, Sylvanas!
Very well, War Chief. I have solved the plight of the Forsaken. As a race, we Forsaken are unable to procreate. With the aid of the Valkyr, we are now able to take the corpses of the fallen and create new Forsaken. Agatha! Show the War Chief!
What you have done here, Sylvanas, it goes against the laws of nature. Disgusting is the only word I have to describe it.
War Chief, without these new Forsaken, my people would die out. Our hold upon Gilneas and Northern Lordaeron would crumble.
Have you given any thought to what this means, Sylvanas? What difference is there between you and the Lich King now?
Isn't it obvious, War Chief? I serve the Horde.
Number 6 is the Blood Queen Lanethel. Lanethel was a blood elf who wielded the Quel'Dalar, a blade created by the Night Elves and the Five Dragon Aspects. When Illidan and Prince Kel'Thas raised an army to defeat the Lich King, Lanethel saw it as the perfect opportunity to get revenge on the Lich King for destroying her homeland. In case you don't know much about WoW lore, the Lich King killed nearly 90% of the High Elves in the Third War, and 90% of the 10% who survived called themselves a Blood Elf in remembrance of the ridiculous number of elves that died. After the Lich King defeated both Illidan and Kel'Thas, he hunted down everyone who had challenged him with the two, which included Lanethel. While she did have a famous weapon, it wasn't really a match for Frostmourne, and the Lich King killed her and made her part of his army, like he did with most of the strong people he killed. She's involved in a quest chain to get her weapon and is the last boss of the Blood Quarter of ICC. Number 5, Terran Gorefiend, the First Death Knight. Terran Gorefiend was once one of Gul'dan's warlocks before Doomhammer destroyed most of Gul'dan's Shadow Council. Before becoming the leader of the Horde, Doomhammer also destroyed the former Horde leader Blackhand, who was under the control of Gul'dan. Doomhammer was also about to finish Gul'dan, who had been sleeping during the whole slaughter, but he spared Gul'dan, who convinced Doomhammer that he needed his power if he were to conquer Azeroth. Gul'dan promised to help the Horde by making some kind of army to add to the Horde, and he did. Terran Gorefiend, who was a former warlock and slain by Doomhammer, was raised again by Gul'dan and his ogre companion Cho'Gall, and had his soul put into a human corpse, who had been slain during the Horde Siege of Stormwind, with a new and enhanced powers. Terran Gorefiend was the first so-called Death Knight. How he ended up in Black Temple, however, I'm not sure. I mean, there is a quest with him in Shadowmoon Valley where Black Temple's at, but it's never really explained why he's in Black Temple. Sindragosa, formerly the prime consort of Malygos, was raised by the Lich King Arthas and became his most powerful servant. During the War of the Ancients, when four of the Five Dragon Aspects put a part of their power into creating the Dragon Soul, Deathwing betrayed the other aspects and attacked over the Well of Eternity. The Blue Dragonflight, led by Malygos and Sindragosa, surrounded Deathwing and tried to attack him. But Deathwing used the Dragon Soul to kill nearly the entire Blue Dragonflight and sent Sindragosa flying all the way to Northrend, where she died while trying to crawl to Dragonblight. In her final moments before dying, she vowed revenge against all living things.
Suffer, mortals, as your pathetic magic betrays you!
Sindragosa is the last boss of the Frostwing in ICC, and the second hardest boss in the instance. Number 3, Kel'Thuzad. Now, Kel'Thuzad's story is too long to explain in detail in this video, so I'll just be giving the highlights. He was originally a human mage of Dalaran and loved reading into the dark arts. One day, he heard the Lich King Ner'zhul's voice from Northrend and gave up everything to sail to Northrend. Becoming Ner'zhul's agent, he created the Cult of the Damned, and is responsible for the Plague of Lordaeron, which was the first step to Arthas becoming the Lich King himself. He was killed by Arthas before the plague was spread. After Arthas became the Lich King, he destroyed Silver Moon and resurrected Kel'Thuzad in the Sunwell. The Lich King and Kel'Thuzad became BFFs, and bring Archimonde into the world. He saves the Lich King when Sylvanas launches a nearly successful attack. He stays behind when the Lich King goes to Northrend at his request, and is nearly killed in Naxxramas. But his soul works kinda like Voldemort's Horcruxes in Harry Potter, and his Horcrux, with his soul in it, was brought to Northrend where he was defeated again in Naxx. Whether or not he's actually dead, though, is unknown. Number 2, the Lich King, Ner'zhul, Arthas, and Bolvar Fordragon. The Lich King was responsible for nearly all the zombies in the game in one way or another. Like Kel'Thuzad, going over the Lich King's whole story would take too long, so I'm gonna sum it up. The Lich King was made by Kil'jaeden as kind of a punishment for Ner'zhul. Ner'zhul wasn't completely under Kil'jaeden's control and rebelled whenever possible. Arthas becomes the next Lich King and starts the Third War and creates the Scourge. After Arthas is killed, Bolvar becomes the next Lich King to prevent the Scourge from going wild, because the Lich King has a psychic control over all the zombies. And finally, number 1 on this list is Sylvanas Windrunner, the potential next Lich King.
I have not always been the Banshee Queen, and my people have not always been the Forsaken. Long ago, this land comprised the northern kingdoms of Lordaeron, ruled by King Taranis Menethil. Taranis had a son named Arthas. Arthas. Even saying his name makes my body quiver in rage. This man-child, Arthas, took for himself a cursed blade known as Frostmourne. Through Frostmourne, Arthas killed his own father and raised this land along with every living creature in it. My own death came at the hands of Arthas when he and his armies sacked my homeland, Quel'Thalas, and murdered my people. In his vast cruelty, Arthas severed my spirit from my body and raised me as a banshee to serve in his Scourge army. A similar fate befell all that would die to the Scourge war machine. In death, they were reborn as mindless undead. But Arthas was not invincible. With each passing day, his power waned, his grip over the will of the damned loosening. It was when Arthas was at his weakest that I struck. And though the hour of his atonement had come, the worm managed to escape his fate, returning to the frozen wastes of Northrend. With Arthas gone, so too was the control he held over the undead masses of Lordaeron. After recovering my body, I freed the remaining Scourge that were left behind. From the cruelty and mercilessness of Arthas, the man who would be Lich King, the Forsaken, were born. Our goal, our sole purpose, was to destroy the Lich King. We threw our lot in with the Horde and began our journey towards redemption. Now, the Lich King is dead, and we have returned. The people who called this land their home in life do so in death as well. But the Alliance does not recognize our rights. They claim this land as their own while attempting to invalidate the claims of the founders of this kingdom. I will never allow it. Never! Lordaeron belongs to the Forsaken. Always and forever.
So as Sylvanas explains herself, she was killed by the Lich King and got her revenge. And, as I shuttled the Valks, she is raising her own army of undead now and is openly hostile to anyone that's not a Forsaken. During the War Crimes novel, which takes place after Mists and before Warlords, there's a side story with Sylvanas and her sister Illyria Windrunner, where they plan to kill Garrosh while he's in prison during his trial. During the interaction, Sylvanas strongly hints that she has plans of her own and would help Illyria get her revenge in exchange for turning her into a Forsaken. At the end of the book, Illyria decides to not kill Garrosh after all and betray Sylvanas, which sends her into a rage that never gets explored further. I put Sylvanas to the top rather than the Lich King because of a personal bias, and because I think she's going to do something interesting in the future.
Come little children, I'll take thee away into a land of enchantment. Come little children, the time's come to play.